At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Seal off drafts, dust, and moisture with MD Weather Stripping from Menards. A well-sealed home is more comfortable and energy efficient. We have the largest selection of in-stock weather stripping with over 130 products available to take home and start lowering your energy bills today. Save big money on MD Weather Stripping right now at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Just like the old school days of Monday Nitro, we started a couple minutes earlier. We were supposed to go on at 7:15, decided to start at 7:13, just like in the old Monday Night War days, because we are live on the Wrestling Inc. YouTube channel. Me, myself, it's me, myself, and Flobo Boyce to my left, camera right, talking all things SmackDown October 4th, 2024. How are you, Flobo?
SmackDown is always a decent time, but SmackDown with George Hermosa, worth his weight in gold.
Yep. What to do? I do want to talk very briefly about who you're rooting for, Phillies or Mets.
Are you asking me if I'm rooting for the Philadelphia Phillies? Absolutely not. The Mets are on a crazy run. No, I am biased to begin with, but you got to admit, Grimace only rolls with cool people. You know what I'm saying? So it has to be New York.
We might be at odds maybe in about a week or so when you have the Dodgers and the Mets and the NLCS. So if I'm a little snarky with you, I'm apologizing for it now, but I just want you to understand how important it is for me for the Dodgers not only to make the World Series, but to win the World
Series. Just don't get in trouble in San Diego like you did in the season series and you'll be fine.
but aside, no more baseball talk for now, even though I did see a nice little picture of Io Sky at the Dodger game about a week ago, and I was there, and I didn't see her. If I knew she was there, then I would have, I wouldn't have done anything, because that would have been weird.
She probably asked for an autograph if she saw you.
Maybe I would have asked her for a nice brief interview to be posted on the Wrestling Chatter YouTube channel. But we're on Wrestling Inc. tonight.
That's a good channel.
I want to give a shout out to all the people in the comments talking about Brianne, Jose, or is it Jose? Flobo Voices in the chat. We got another George Bartley, or is it Bartley? Alicia A, I will delete you from the chat because you are absolutely wrong. The Yankees are not going to win the World Series. Steve Kaufman, I will delete you from the chat because actually we had a nice little chit chat about it.
Hey, leave Steve Kaufman alone. He's a sweetheart.
Yeah, you 100%. Fun fact, I was with Steve Kaufman today. We talked a little baseball on the car ride back from Comic-Con.
Thanks for the invite, you sons of guns.
I wish I can lie to you and tell you that I did send the invite in the mail, but I did not.
I gotcha.
What's up, Danny Cochran?
Hey, are you going to Steve Kaufman's party this month?
I'm going if you're going.
Oh, I'm definitely going. I gotta get myself a costume. What should I be for Halloween? If you guys know what should be for Halloween, let me know.
You should be, because you already got the haircut, former SmackDown GM Teddy Long.
Are you insulting me? Like, your face looks just like him.
No, I said your head looks like Teddy Long.
All right, I'm just saying.
because I wanted to bring up Teddy Long because we're here to talk about SmackDown. Because guess what? The main event was an epic one. We're going to talk all about it in an epic ladder match that was a tag team match. Bring in the noise. What you going to do? Bring in the noise.
What song is it? That's not Mac Militant.
Wasn't it?
No. Coming to bring it on. Move out of your way. I'm coming to bring in the storm or something like that.
Yes, that's why you're here, so you can correct me on the old Teddy Long theme music time.
Yeah, plus, late period Jim Johnson music.
Let's talk about the best. Let's talk about some notable events, weather and sports, also known as the news. So as we all know, Bad Blood is tomorrow. By the way, guys,
hi guys.
In less than 24 hours, probably less, like around maybe like an hour earlier, I, alongside referee legend Jimmy Corderas,
we'll
be here on this channel talking all things WWE Bad Blood. We might even have an appearance by Taylor Swift herself doing a musical performance of her hit single, Bad Blood.
Wait, question. Isn't
one of those statements is not true.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Car subs to change. Does it bother you, though, that Bad Blood has a special start time of a random hour earlier? It's like in the East Coast. What gives?
It bothers me just a little bit because I have to do some things in the morning and now I have to cut it short because I got to be back in time to watch WWE Bad Blood and I got to be back even, you know, home. Although, I guess, are there any rules to doing these shows remotely?
We do.
Like, I'm saying, like, if I'm at a Dodger game, can I still cover Dynamite or SmackDown?
You could, but you'd be no help to anyone. The service. There.
What do you mean? Dodger Stadium has great Wi-Fi.
Not for this. No, it does not.
I'll bring my own Wi-Fi.
Okay.
I'm just out of nowhere. I mean, I'm like, do I have to be home for this? Because I can be at Comic-Con tomorrow, Los Angeles Comic-Con, doing the Bad Blood after show. Because I got my phone, I can bring out the Peacock, talk about all things, watch these legends come in. Because not only the rumor on the street, but the word on the street, there are some legends in town in Atlanta, Georgia, that will be making an appearance at Bad Blood. Ooh. Do you have any idea who these legends may or may not be?
George Hermosa.
I wish, but I got to be here on Wrestling Inc. covering Bad Blood alongside Jimmy Corderas. Yeah, at the Dodger game. Oh yeah, they are playing. They are playing at home tomorrow. Oh yeah, dude, I totally forgot about that. I should go to the Dodger game and then eventually broadcast.
It'll be your last show ever. Like, our boss is like, "What? What is George doing?
What the hell? I can't hear anything." But if you guess the Steiner brothers, you are correct. A lot of Hall of Famers. In fact, they're all Hall of Famers. We have Rick and Scott Steiner, the Steiner brothers, of course, father and uncle of Bron Breakker. We have DDP, Tully Blanchard, and Arn Anderson, one of my favorite tag teams of all time. Medusa, who is a former guest on the Wrestling Chatter. We talked all about her book. And another Hall of Famer, Jacqueline Moore, who I think is one of the most underrated, underappreciated. She gets her flowers, but I really don't think she gets I think she deserves a lot more flowers, especially for what she's done. Obviously as a black woman in the Attitude Era, you're really paving the way for a lot more African-American women in wrestling. But yeah, apparently they are all going to be at Bad Blood making some kind of appearance as they're going to be broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia.
Interesting that like even a small PLE or small PLE is now getting the big PLE treatment, even though it's only like four or five matches on the card. So I guess it's turned to the whole Formula One or UFC thing where every event is special, which is pretty cool for me.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be fun. I'm always a big fan of when they bring in some of these guests and whether or not we see more people. We'll wait and see.
But, because... I mean, let's be real, George. Like, if you're just like, oh my gosh, there's EDP, and he's like waving, and they never see him again. Like, is that really cool or not?
Well, then what do you suggest then? What's your solution to the old wave and the nod or the wink and the gun?
I don't have suggestions. I only bring up the stir in the pot. I'm just saying, you say, oh, guests are going to be at the show. As a wrestling fan, does it enhance your show if you go, oh my gosh, it's, I don't know, Norman Smiley in the crowd? Or is it kind of like a, whatever, this is all filler?
You put some respect on the Big Wiggle.
Oh, no, all the respect on the Big Wiggle.
I wish we should have you do the Big Wiggle. We always try to get you to dance. And yeah. I feel like the Big Wiggle will be something that you can do very well.
I'm fine.
Totally fine. One of these days, we're going to get you. I don't know how, but we're going to get you.
It's cool.
Which legend are you most excited to see?
Which WWE legends of all time?
No. Just out of the people that I mentioned, I'll tell you mine. It's Jacqueline Moore, because I feel like we haven't really seen her enough do a lot of appearances. She did the Hall of Fame thing, but we've seen Medusa. We saw Arn Anderson make an appearance at SummerSlam not too long ago. We've saw the Steiner brothers in the, I feel like they were in the crowd for SummerSlam as well, right? When they were in that box for Bron Breakker winning the IC belt.
Were they? Because I felt there was a time where Rick Steiner was not allowed to be around places.
Yeah. I mean, I that was like about a year and a half ago. I won't get into it. I mean, we all, if you don't know the story, look it up. But, you know, I feel like he did his time. He apologized. I'd like to think that there are some people out there that maybe gave him a talk on certain things. And, you know, as far as I know, then, you know, maybe he learned his lesson and now is better for it.
Well, then you sold me. Yes, Jacqueline is my answer as well.
Speaking of which, somebody in the chat mentioned Tessa Blanchard, and I just mentioned the name because Tully Blanchard is going to be at Bad Blood. So, and I've always been a big Tully Blanchard fan. I think he is one of the best heels of the '80s. So, yeah, Tully Blanchard. Wow. Backstage details on upcoming WWE match between Gunther and Sami Zayn. Dave Meltzer was told, as he reported, that WWE felt Bad Blood did not need a Gunther Zayn match on the show as much as the WWE Raw, this upcoming Raw, needs it. Meltzer agreed with the idea, as Bad Blood has been close to been selling out for a number of weeks, and that placing a world championship match on the first two-hour edition of Raw in 12 years will give the show a boost in ratings and ticket sales. There's been a bit of a chatter online about, like, how does a PLE not have a world title match?
Nope. Old fans care about that kind of stuff. Only old school fans that grew up in the 80s, new generation, or part of the Attitude Era is like, I want my world title match. I think now more than ever, when we look at, say, AEW, not to compare them, where there's so many championship matches, I think at the end of the day, it's like, is this worth my 2.5 hours of time? Because you know dang well, if there's a title match not on the card, say for WrestleMania, they're going to address it the following week. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's that big of a deal. And you're getting Cody tagged with Roman. Like, what more do you want, Atlanta?
Yeah, I think it's a little overblown, to be honest with you. There's nowhere in the books that says every PLE has to have a world title match, especially because you do have the WWE champion in a match. So it's not like this event is championless, right? And it's not exactly the first time. We saw it about a year ago. You know, right after the back, what was the pay-per-view? Payback. It was Backlash. Backlash Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. Roman wasn't there in Puerto Rico. Right. And, you know, and granted, there was one champion at the time. But even going back to back in the day, the world title match was defended like once a year on pay-per-view. Granted, there was only 4 pay-per-views in a year, but still, like, it was kind of like WrestleMania, right? That's where you see the Hogan Savage. That's where you see the Hogan Warrior. Because SummerSlam, it was always some kind of tag match with Hogan involved. Survivor Series, you know, it was just the big tag matches, and the Rumble was the attraction. I honestly don't see what the big deal is. Why is everybody up in arms as far as, like, oh, my God, how is this match not on the pay-per-view? Like, you got to think what pro wrestling is. I think the biggest misconception about pro wrestling is that it's involving it that there has to have nothing but pro wrestling, right? Mm-hmm. When everybody's like, oh, how can Monday Night Raw, 3-hour show, only have 20 minutes of wrestling? Because it's not a wrestling show. You know what I mean? Like, does that make right. sense?
No,
like,
it makes perfect sense.
It's a show. It's an entertainment show. It's sports entertainment. And that goes for all companies as well, where, like, what exactly is selling what you're trying to do? The drama or the matches? If it was just nothing about wrestling, Ring of Honor would be the number one company in the entire world. And I'm talking the old school Ring of Honor, you know?
Yeah, no, you think about the new era of WWE, and I think it's like I said on the show last week, it's going to be a small problem now, but it's going to be a bigger problem later on. It's almost so wrestling-based that it may be some backlash, no pun intended, about how pure it is. Like in the previous era, the Vince era, I'm not saying it was better or superior, but you had comedy acts, you had things done for relationships, you had love triangles to make it seem as variety show as possible because it keeps it fresh over a 2 or 3 hour show.
Yeah, and I do have a question I've been wanting to ask somebody in charge in WWE if I ever make it to one of those scrums or press conferences afterwards. Because now that we're seeing a lot of five match, and let me know what you think. Now that we're seeing a lot of five match shows with excluding Mania, of course, and SummerSlam, there's probably what 12, 13, 14 people featured on any PLE. I wonder if there's any thought of bringing back, which I personally love, the brand exclusive PLEs. I was a big fan of those because it really allowed a lot more people to maybe that wouldn't get a spotlight on like a SummerSlam. You know, you would see like a Billy Gunn versus Billy Kidman on like a random Judgment Day. You wouldn't see that on a SummerSlam, but you would see that on one of those brand exclusive pay-per-views. You know, obviously it's not that now, but I'm curious if they would bring that back. Would you be a fan of if they unmerge them for some of these smaller pay-per-views?
PLEs? I liked them back then. I don't think I like them now, because even though there's more bodies in the WWE umbrella now, the active rosters are kind of thin. We'll get into that. Like, I felt the US title division was basically two guys until the return of AJ Styles. And so, yeah, I like to have more people featured, but I also don't need 50 wrestlers on a show and having 90-second matches like back in the SmackDown days.
Like, do you think that it would have had a bigger impact if, let's say, Braun Strowman versus Bronson Reed was on a PLE instead of the main event of Raw?
Well, the single brand pay-per-views, even though I love them, the big criticism was it feels like SmackDown. It feels like Raw. How do you make those brand-specific pay-per-views feel different? Mm-hmm. Different cameras? I mean, that's a cool gimmick, but that's literally a gimmick.
It's crazy because I'm doing like a SummerSlam rewatch, and I was just finished the one back in 2016, and that was important, at least in my eyes, because that was right after the redraft. Not the redraft, but like they did like a hard split on the Raw and SmackDown one more time, where they brought back the brand exclusive pay-per-views, and then you had SmackDown have Backlash, No Mercy, and a few others, and then you had Raw have like Clash of the Champions and Hell in a Cell. I say that because whenever you have those kind of theme pay-per-views, you're kind of stuck booking around the name of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You had Hell in a Cell. Oh, great. Now we have to have a Hell in a Cell match. Now we're forced to kind of build the match toward that. As opposed to SmackDown, you have a Backlash. That wasn't revolved around the name of the show, so they were a little bit more creative. No Mercy, I thought, was fantastic pay-per-view. Dolph Ziggler and The Miz was probably one of the most best matches of each person's career, and I was a big fan of that. So I feel like now, especially now, you have a Bad Blood. Yes, I know it's a 27th anniversary of the first Hell in a Cell, and I feel like that's why they're doing it, but at least they're making importance of every match that's involved. And I feel like if they did a brand exclusive PLE once again, they would make sure that each match is important.
Yeah, I've been telling this for years. It's the reason why I hate Survivor Series, is that this pay-per-view has lost its total meaning. It needs to go away. I mean, they've tried grafting bragging rights onto it. They tried doing 4v4, 5v5. Now it's the War Games pay-per-view or PLE. I think it's the perfect example. But yes, I'm with you, because there are some TLC, for example. Like, I can't think of a hot chairs match, but they had to have one because it was TLC.
I'll tell you, we saw a hot dumpster match, but we'll get into that in a little bit. At least I think so.
Tease.
One more piece of news. Speaking of Braun Strowman and Braun Strowman from last Monday, Braun Strowman reportedly injured during WWE Raw Last Monster Standing match. According to the Wrestling Observer, Brian Alvarez, Braun Strowman got the win from a returning Seth Rollins, but apparently he did get it confirmed that, you know, when we saw, especially there was a point where Braun Strowman knocked off Bronson Reed from the apron, he looked like he had a little bit of trouble running, I guess you can say. It looked like he grabbed his thigh groin area, and then they were going to do the spot where he knocked him off the chairs. And we all kind of knew that he was hurt, but he may have torn his groin is what it looks like. They don't have an update now, but I'm sure they'll give us an update this upcoming Monday. Knowing what you know now on how or that he was got hurt in the middle of the match, does that give you more respect for like a Braun Strowman for kind of pushing it through, and especially with how the match ended?
Are you kidding me? If I'm Braun Strowman, I'm that tall and weigh so many pounds, I would like sell used cars. Like, I would try to protect my body from everything. The fact he's able to do that and come back says a lot about what's that. But the idea of the Last Monster Standing, I had grown jaded of Last Man Standing matches because I felt very formulaic. But this was something different. It was fresh, and I didn't call Seth Rollins showing up, and especially Seth Rollins getting involved and being part of the finish. So that was like a cool way of doing it. And if you're into like the kid stuff, like when you're 10 or 8, seeing that graphic of them together was like totally worth it. So yeah, I give all the credit to Braun Strowman for sure.
I know a couple people that probably think that Triple H isn't really doing that good of a job, and I think these people are absolutely psychotic.
It's 2 years though. Everyone gets tired of a booker every 2 years. It doesn't matter
who you are. But the way that this match was built, like it was just so creative. Braun Strowman is kind of, and I say this in a very complimentary way. I see a lot of Big Show vibes where he's not the face of the company, but I do feel like Strowman is kind of becoming of an attraction where if you need him to put over somebody, whether it's in a win or a loss, Braun Strowman is going to do an excellent job of doing that. And I think feel like he's been doing that for a good 5 years or so, but I feel like now even more so, he's doing a really good job at getting other people over.
Well, riddle me this then, George. If you put people over, can you be an attraction? And I ask you that because we are living in the world post-Natalya and post-Dolph Ziggler, and that's what they did for years. But they were never on the souvenir cups, as you would say.
Let's test that theory.
Okay, main character art on this. At the Royal Rumble, does that count?
I mean, either way, they're not on this cup. So even for like a match that they literally promote 30 people in,
I don't want to bury Braun Strowman. I'm just saying, like, I understand you need guys who are like a certain build and they can put people over or whatnot. But if you keep doing that, are you still considered an attraction?
Well, I mean, I say that because, like I said, going through my SummerSlam watch back, whatever, SummerSlam 2017. Big Cass, or right before then, Big Cass turned on Enzo Amore. Stupid decision, I think, but you know that's besides the point. But instead of building up a big Cass Enzo match for SummerSlam, we saw Big Cass versus Big Show with Enzo Amore in like some shark cage up above the ring, which is, you know, coincidentally something that's going to happen at Bad Blood. And at the time, Big Show was just kind of there. Like, he'll make an appearance, you know, the crowd will pop when you hear the, well, or I know his theme changed a little bit, but I feel like he was there and he totally put Big Cass over. Even in a win, even though Braun Strowman won on Raw, I still feel like Bronson Reed got put over. So I just feel like he's going to be that guy that goes away for a little bit, especially if he's hurt a little bit. And then he's going to come back. He's going to get that big pop. He's going to have a nice little program, and he's going to go away for a couple months. And then he's going to come back, and then kind of the cycle continues, you know?
Yeah, I think when Braun was signed, I think the idea of him being a Big Show was kind of on the wall. I mean, he feuded with Big Show himself. And again, you need people like that. You need those monsters. I bet Omos would be in that situation too. Mm-hmm. He had a little bit more, I don't say charisma, but the crowd got behind him. But at the same time, when you are a workhorse, when you are someone that makes people look better, if you are someone that makes shows smooth, you're not really top of mind. Like, I've only seen one person. I've been a fan of wrestling for 34 years. I only seen one person wear a Big Show shirt. You know how crazy that is? The dude's been wrestling for like 25 years.
Are you that one person?
No, I was at WrestleMania 26. The guy in front of me in line had a Big Show shirt back when we were doing the bear.
I was in Phoenix that weekend too.
Oh, really? It was in Glendale. That's why you missed it.
Oh, yeah. You know what's funny? I was in Phoenix for the weekend, but I didn't go to WrestleMania. I was on my way back that Sunday morning and went to a friend's house and watched WrestleMania from home. My friend's house.
Cheap tickets. You should have went.
I should have. Yeah. I don't know why I didn't. I did other stuff real quick. But two more things before we get into the show. One, as we all know, when I'm in the old driver's seat, by the way, you don't have your seatbelt on, Flobo. I like to do a little bit of trivia. So I got one trivia question for all you people watching, or if you're listening on Wrestling Inc. podcast on audio format. Hey. And I will give you the answer at the end of the show. Because obviously we saw the main event in a ladder match. Want to ask, what was the very first ladder match to ever be on SmackDown?
Tag team or just in general?
What was the very first ladder match to ever be on SmackDown?
Okay, I'm just saying, tag team?
Just the ladder match, whether it's singles, tag team, trios, handicap, whatever it is. What was the very first ladder match to ever be on SmackDown?
Cool.
So if you know the answer, feel free to comment. I'm not going to reveal the answer until later on in the show. But also, I do want to say, tune in to the end of the show because we are going to give our predictions for Bad Blood.
Do people tune into things anymore? There's no like cathode ray tube. There's no dials. Did we say tune in?
Feel free to click on our thumbnail if you haven't already. Although that would be weird because you're already watching the show. Mm-hmm. Feel free to not click away and listen to our predictions.
I have a guess on that
for Bad Blood.
I won't look it up though, but I have a guess.
What is it?
Do I tell you now or at the end of the show?
Tell me now because I'm not going to reveal the answer until the end of the show.
I'm thinking TLC 3 will be the first one on top of my head.
What's the second one off the top of your head? Do you have anything off the side of your head? Not the top of the head.
No, anyways, man. That's where my hair is.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows a resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
SmackDown starts off in a phenomenal way.
By the way, before we get to the start of SmackDown, hate the fact that second weekend or third weekend and he got rid of the opening. Like, what's the point of doing one if you're not going to show me how the show starts? I want music and people flying. Like, I want, like, remember 205 Live? That was great stuff.
You want Megan Thee Stallion.
I want intros, even in general. Remember when NXT was on USA? They didn't even have an intro theme for like a year. That really ticks me off. I want my thorn in my eye. I want my black and blue. I want my life I chose. I want Rise Up. I want an intro.
Talk about being a wrestling purist. Well, first off, we start the show off with Hardy, not Matter Jeff, just Hardy.
Random.
He introduces the return of the phenomenal AJ Styles.
The phenomenal forearm AJ
Styles. Yeah, the phenomenal forearm AJ Styles. Comes back, says he's, you know, feels bad for a couple things that he did. You know, fake his retirement a la Mark Henry. But we saw some great matches, but we haven't seen him since then. He did a match in Japan, which they alluded to. There were a lot of TNA references, you know, being that they were in Nashville tonight. AJ Styles got a lot of history in that city. But we see him come back and we see him come out. Do you know who him is?
George Ramosa.
That's right. I come out and I say, let me introduce Carmelo Hayes. Because and you know that, and we already kind of saw where it was going, and I am not upset about that because in many ways, and this is no disrespect, I think this match was an excellent representation of the past, present, and the future. Because, oh man, to me, like, Melo does kind of have a lot of AJ Styles vibes, especially from, you know, AJ started like 24 years ago. That's a long time ago. I mean, I don't want to say he's so old, but he was on WCW Nitro and he's still going. And not only is he still going, he's still going at a very, very high level. Yeah. We'll talk about the injury in a second, but what did you think First off, what did you think when they announced this match being official? And what did you think of the match itself?
So AJ Styles came back and I was like, well, how are they going to fit this? Because there's so many guys on the SmackDown roster that don't really have dance partners. But slotting him into the US title division was smart. He looks to be at least a face right now. I'm not sure that's going to change, which is great. And as soon as Carmelo came out, I was like, book the match. Like, I didn't even think about it. That wasn't even on my dream list. But when I saw that, I go, that's crazy. So the fact that was given away before PLE was pretty sick.
Yeah. Then we have, of course, we have LA Knight come out and then he's doing commentary or sitting at ringside, kind of, you know, pretty much saying that if Hayes wins and he decided the US championship. But then we got the injury. My first question for you, and I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, do you think the injury is legit?
I think so. I think the injury is legit. I do think it's a work shoot. I think having the no contest was not planned. They were like, LA, go out there.
I think. Well, did they say it was a no contest, or did they just
Carmelo won the match?
Carmelo was the one.
Yeah. It was he couldn't compete. AJ Styles couldn't compete. Carmelo won the match. I thought everything else was worked around it. So LA Knight showing up, sending the crowd home happy, or sending the second home happy. AJ getting checked out in the trainers. I think that was all worked, but the actual injury was not, because it came off as such a random thing.
Yeah,
it just seems out of place.
Yeah, and especially like he kept going for a little bit. And I mean, I've not proud of this. I've literally torn my ACL during a basketball game.
Whoa.
And I kept playing. Because my mentality was like, okay, well, it's just a sprain. It'll heal. little did I know. And I was like sore, but I was like, yo, like I need to contribute to the game. I need to contribute to my team. And I kept playing, hurt like hell the next day. It eventually healed, not healed, but eventually the pain went away. So I'm like, okay, I'm good. And I was actually training in wrestling or at a wrestling practice. And I did one of those, like, I mean, we call it an up and over, but you know, when you run toward the torn buckle and then you jump up and then the person goes under you.
Yeah.
And I did that and I heard a pop. So I was like,
Heard the pop?
I heard it the first time too, but I was like, all right, I heard the pop. And I was like, I went down and I was like, all right, now I'll go to the hospital. Now I'll go and check out and see what's wrong with my leg. And then when I got the MRIs back, I'm like, oh, you got a torn ACL, bro. I'm like, oh,
bro.
Yeah. It's like, I got a torn ACL. Okay. That sucks. You know?
Yeah.
So I kind of get that mentality of like, they got hurt. You still feel like you can go. So a lot of people maybe think it's a work, but like, oh, how did he keep wrestling? We've seen it many, many times before in a wrestling match where somebody gets hurt and they keep going, and we find out they have a broken neck at the end of the week, you know. So I kind of understand. I did get thrown off a little bit when they kind of mentioned it again, and then they showed him in the back. But then they were like, oh, well, this was before he got taken to the hospital. So I'm kind of curious. It is kind of a way to maybe protect AJ a little bit, because you don't want to see him come back and just, you know, lose in a 1-2-3. And also a way to elevate Carmelo Hayes, who, in my opinion, is one of the brightest stars that's going to be around for the next 5-10 years.
So what I don't understand is like, why goes into trouble then? I'm like, here's Hardy coming out and say, there's this guy who's going to hurt his ankle. It seems kind of weird. So I think that part was real. I think WWE just got really smart with covering stuff up. That's
maybe, yeah. I mean, I feel like even with Triple H in charge, I think we are seeing a little bit more creative ways to kind of do things. And, you know, I don't think this would have happened in the Vince era. It just would have been either don't have the match at all or just whatever, just have him. I mean, if it was Vince, I think that AJ would be beating Carmelo Hayes cleanly. And then they're like, oh, well, Hayes is still going to get the title match at some ways. But this is a cop-out. I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to wait and see.
Dude, we would be wrestling podcasters if we didn't say wait and see all the time.
Okay, fine. I think it's a work. I think it's a work. I think he is not really hurt. I think he's going to come back next week, and it's just a way to maybe just bring him back.
Right.
I feel like he hasn't really done much.
What's the end game? So he's going to fake retire. He goes on this tear. No offense here, ACL. Does this great match at Backlash. Then gets off TV, comes back and gets injured again. Like, what's the story?
That,
being old? Like,
yeah, I think so. Because I mean, this is his first match, so there's going to come out to like, oh, maybe it's fatigue. Maybe I haven't wrestled as much as I'd like to. You know, ring rust is a thing. Just kind of throwing things out there. Maybe not so much focusing on the age, because there's a lot of people on that roster that are close to that age, or even older. So I don't think they'll focus on that so much. It'll maybe be because of the inactivity, he hadn't really been able to get a chance to get his body, you know, warm enough to kind of go through. I don't know. I feel like that's maybe where they're going, but we'll see you next week.
Way too sports of a storyline. If it is, congrats, because I've been worked, but that's way too sportsy of a storyline for me. But
yeah,
personally,
I guess we'll see. Yeah. And then we see, in my opinion, the best dumpster match that's ever been. We saw Chelsea Green up against Meechan.
Oh, yeah. Wow, not many dumpster matches. We should get more of those. And both these ladies are, I mean, they're always in good shape, but they look like they've been hitting the gym, you know what I mean? So yeah, it was definitely something a lot better than I thought it would be. I thought it'd have been cinematic. I thought it'd been like outside in Nashville somewhere. Mm-hmm. But to have it in the arena was pretty good. And you got Piper Niven involved. Meechan looks like she gets a little bit of that shot in the arm, the recharge, refresh. Chelsea, yeah, Green has proven she could be that workhorse, that Dolph Ziggler, that Natalya. I mean, everyone wins.
I gotta tell you though, I don't know how they give award. When you think MVP, you're going to think of, besides Montel Ventavious Porter, people are going to think of like, oh, who's the champion? Who's the top dog? Who's been putting in all those classic matches, but he's been putting in all who's the top draw, all these things. I got to say, if there's an MVP, it's got to be Chelsea Green. She is somebody who, you give her anything, any small opportunity, whatever it is, she is going to knock it out of the park.
Absolutely.
You give her like anything, and she is just going to do, oh my, I cannot emphasize. I'm speechless right now because I cannot come up with the words on how amazing Chelsea Green is.
Well, that's what I was saying before about like being an attraction. If you're so good at what you do, you could be trusted to go anywhere. You tend to go everywhere. So it takes a long time for people to notice how good you are until it's too late or until you're old or whatnot. And like for every Finn Balor or for every, again, I'm saying Dolph Ziggler all the time, I look at someone like Booker T. Booker T was a journeyman, or at least booked that way. And I didn't really appreciate him as much until he went and retired. And I got to go watch things in distilled moments, maybe outside of the context of the normal show. But that's kind of what it is. Chelsea Green will always be the heel. She has people that hate her, people that love her. She got dumpstered. Of course, everyone made fun of her. She's basically booked herself. She has a job. Yeah. You know, she heats later everything. But she won't be the one kids want to dress up as. And I wonder, as a performer,
I don't know about that.
Does anyone matter? Does it care?
I don't know about that. I feel like I have seen some people dress up as Chelsea Green for some of the cons, but you tell me about a month ago that we're gonna see Chelsea Green and Meechan in a dumpster match, I'd be like, what are you out of your mind?
I was like, is this NXT?
I would add a certain word before saying mind, but I would have said, are you out of your mind? And these are one of those instances where I will be the first to say that I'm so glad to be wrong in many, many times, because this match, in my opinion, and it should be everybody's opinion, to be honest with you, was just such a knock it out of the park. I said that reference already, but just phenomenal in so many ways. Chelsea Green, dating back to even before Money in the Bank, but just going back to Money in the Bank, getting that crazy, insane bump off the ladders and doing that crazy insane bump tonight through a table in the dumpster. Like, how she, I don't know. I know they're going to bring the Slammies back. I know they had them for WrestleMania weekend. I don't know if they're going to do it again for next WrestleMania, but give her like at least 9 Slammies, like most charismatic, most personality, most charismatic, you know, best bumper. You know, just so many different, like, just most underrated. I cannot say anything like Chelsea Green. Like I said, give her everything. Give her every flower. If they ever end up with a mid-card title, have her be the first champion. A year or two later, give her the women's championship. Just She needs to be.
Hey, Meechan actually won the match. What does she get? whatever. Chelsea Green, all the flowers.
Am I wrong?
I mean, what does Meechan get if you're giving out flowers?
Mankind lost in the Hell in a Cell. Do you remember that? And he was even more over after that.
But Taker goes through all the things.
They ended up giving him the world title at the end of the year.
Does Meechan deserve a flower tonight or no?
Yes.
You gotta think about it. I don't like
it. No, yes, she does. But
yeah,
Chelsea
But
Chelsea deserves the bouquet.
Crap.
Give Meechan the flowers. Chelsea deserves the bouquet. The whole rigmarole of flower shop and tulips and roses and white roses and all those different kind of roses. Give them all. Give her all of them. Give Meechan some sunflowers. Give Chelsea the whole shebang.
First of all, I don't want you crapping on sunflowers. That is the best flower to bring on a first date because it's not doing too much.
Plus, they make great seeds.
Yes, but you wouldn't. I got you a seed plant. It's not the same. It's the same.
Where would you rank this dumpster match? What would you rank? Out of all the dumpster matches you've ever seen, where would you rank this one?
Top five. Easy.
You know, it's funny. I don't even think there are five. I can only think of two.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Definite top two.
Not wrong. Duke Drumstrosi, she loves it.
We saw Naomi. I'd love me some Duke Drumstrosi.
Whoa! You're gonna talk about the promo?
What promo?
The one with the cars going vroom and then, like, the city skyline. And it was like, coming soon.
I was saving that for after the dumpster match.
Oh, you said Naomi. I was like, what?
I was going to mention the Naomi promo backstage. Then Bianca and Jade come in and say, hey, guess what? You're going to host with us. You're going to host Bad Blood with us. And I can't wait.
I love this segment because I forgot that Naomi likes Bayley, but Bianca still doesn't like Bayley either.
I do. Continuity.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Long-term now, let's talk about this promo. Is it confirmed that it's the Motor City Machine Guns?
No, but
was that Detroit? Was that the skyline of Detroit?
I'm thinking that was Detroit. Like one of the buildings looks pretty Detroit, but it could be a composite. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I've never been to Detroit. It looked pretty LA to me.
What? No, the US Bank building or the Weasel News building, if you're playing GTA 5, it looks totally different.
Do you think this is a good idea though to bring? I know the easy answer is yes, but are people going to pop? Because when I see like an act not go through the NXT, I'm like, are they going to get the pop that AJ Styles did? I don't think anybody's going to get that pop that AJ Styles did, especially straight from TNA. So are Motor City Machine Guns, are they going to get lost in the shuffle? So where do you see them? Where do you see them going right after if it is them and they do debut here?
Yeah, it's a good question because the Motor City Machine Guns are like the closest thing you have to veterans. I'll even say, not to disrespect them, but they're on the downturn of the career, right? There's more years behind them. So WWE is really good at giving people backstories if they're brand new. That's why I think if it's them, this version with the promos and the cars are pretty much very liberal. They're a machine and they're guns and they're whatever.
They can't have machine guns in there.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, do you think they're going to change their name?
No.
They kind of have to. You think so, right?
I would think so, but the Triple H era has told us people can keep their names and gimmicks more.
But there's one thing that they can't really, like, promote.
What's that?
Well, there's you're sitting there saying, like, oh, well, yes, Triple H era, but you really think there's going to be a thing called the Machine Guns?
Well, they're not the Murder City Machine Guns. The Motor City Machine Guns. Let's be real.
I know. Yeah, I know. But it's like Carl Anderson had the machine gun moniker. And I know that's a Vince era, so I get what you're saying. Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I just thought of that right now where I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if they get a name change just because of, like, machine guns.
Is Generation Me? I'll take it. No, I'm kidding. to answer your question, though, I was thinking why on SmackDown, but we saw that segment with Chelsea Green where specifically all the other tag teams in the division was like, you smell Chelsea. So I do think it looks like the tag team division is going to be the emphasis on SmackDown in the coming weeks.
Yeah, so it's a matter of time before we're going to see them, whether it's NXT, Raw, or SmackDown. Looks like we're going to see them on SmackDown. But considering all the synergy within the, especially, I don't want to say three brands, because I say that because we see more people in NXT than we see SmackDown people on Raw and Raw people on SmackDown. So I feel like even if they do end up debuting on SmackDown, who's to say that we're not going to see them on NXT, because we're seeing Randy Orton on NXT. He's having a match with Javon Evans on Tuesday. You have Bianca and Jade having a match on Tuesday. So again, just because they're on SmackDown doesn't mean that they're not going to be on NXT.
Agreed.
I agree too. I like when we agree with stuff.
Agree with yourself? I agree with you, George. I agree with me too.
Yeah. See how easy that is?
Awful.
Wouldn't it be weird if I disagree with myself?
I mean, in some places, it's called being conflicted.
Bayley comes out to the ring.
By the way, Bayley needs to decide what her theme song is going to be. The first 10 seconds or the next 25? It's like too masked up, and I can't stand it.
I need her to bring back the hugger song.
No.
Oh, come on, dude.
No. You can't be like, oh, there ain't no stopping us now. We
celebrate on the floor. There ain't no stopping us now. I'm not saying bring back the Bayley buddies. I'm just saying bring back the theme song. Even like maybe like a remix of the theme song.
That time is gone. Remember when Sheamus came back with Too Many Limes? It was just weird. And I like that song.
Which one?
The
two. It's a shame to be.
Yeah, they came for 6 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah.
By the way, I love wrestling theme songs. Who doesn't love them?
Who doesn't?
I did an interview with Crowbar that's going to be aired on the Wrestling Chatter. And like literally at the end of the episode or at the end of the interview, we start talking about theme songs. And I'm like, oh my god, like I can literally have an entire show on like 80s and 90s and 2000s theme songs and 2010s. Mm. I think NXT like 2015 to like 2019, that CFO era is like one of the best. Like Undisputed Era. Oh god, that theme song is just amazing.
There's still some people that were jobbers back then. I still listen to their theme songs, like Conan Reeves, Tino Sabatelli. Those are my favorite.
Tino Sabatelli was fire.
Mm-hmm.
Him and the other guy that got fired. What's his name? Riddick Moss.
Riddick Moss. There's like so many guys who got fired.
That was a banger of a theme song.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm just trying to stretch this out because I know you got to be somewhere in the morning and I want to just go until midnight.
That's fine. And the first time. Yeah. No, remember the time that we were on that other show, Cordon Woods, and we were like 3 hours apiece?
Oh my god. I literally challenged myself to see how long can I be, and I think it ended up being like 5 hours when I was on there.
Ridiculous.
Honestly, show. And I took pride in that. Just talked about anything. And I feel like we still even scratched the surface. But Bayley comes out in her theme song. And she talks about, speaking of theme songs, I agree. She talks about her match tomorrow night at Bad Blood, because now we got Bad Blood, like Taylor Swift likes to say. I feel like, though, if Mara Rinaldo was here, I feel like it'd be Taylor Swift, the references galore.
Oh, yeah. He'd be like, oh, bad days don't stop pulling the holes. What a match. It's Bad Blood. Because
yeah. Now we got Bad Blood featuring Kendrick Lamar tomorrow night.
No, Drake, I swear.
Yeah. Of course, Bayley talks her stuff, and I got a dog barking, and then calls out Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton, and it got a little interesting because we've been seeing some teases recent weeks with Tiffany Stratton and cashing in her Money in the Bank, and we didn't see a cash in here, but we saw some facial reactions.
Oh yeah, I mean, who's going to be the one to be cashed on, right? You got Bayley, you got Nia Jax, you even got Naomi waiting in the wings, and it's going to be an interesting thing. I don't know how they want to do it, but I think Tiffany still needs Nia longer than maybe the Money in the Bank briefcase will allow, because you can only have it for a year. I think it works for both of them, because Tiffany on her own is just, yeah, she's kind of like fit and she goes prettiest moonsault ever, which is fine. But her being subservient to Nia makes everyone look like stronger. So I don't know how they're going to figure it out, but I do hope that Tiffany stays with Nia after the fact.
Do you think that Tiffany Stratton will be the first Money in the Bank winner to fail her cash in
on the women's side?
Yes.
I want to say no, because I do see her being a champ, but I do think it's also due, so I wouldn't be surprised. I know it's a cop-out answer. I'm gonna say no.
Interesting. Oh, just messing with my computer.
But
and then we led into a match between Naomi and Tiffany Stratton, and I gotta tell you something. I think By the way, shout out to Sean Ricker. Yeah.
Sean Ricker.
This match, I think, is probably, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, and thankfully, you know, we got a nice We got a nice audience. People are nice when they watch us. They don't come in and just a troll.
They troll you.
I think, yeah, this was the best TV match all week.
What? Go on.
I think this match was phenomenal.
Last Monster Standing, a dumpster match you raved about for 10 minutes, and this was the best TV match.
I said it was the best dumpster match ever. So even if it was bad, it was still better than the one before.
Okay.
I think this match was phenomenal. We saw just a glimpse of how amazing Naomi is. We saw Tiffany Stratton pull out some moves, and I'm like, yo, this girl is a star. This, to me, especially we saw glimpses of it back at the Backlash in France, that you put these two in a ring together, we are going to see pure magic.
Hard disagree. And you know that, bro. Because Tiffany Stratton on NXT went from being Daddy's Little Rich Girl to being the buff Barbie. And this version is cool, but I can't tell you who Tiffany Stratton is. That's why I wanted to stick with Nia. And Naomi, character-wise, has never told us who she was. Yeah, we loved Trinity Fatu, but is Naomi a raver with Casey Catanzaro and Caden Jett? Is she a hip-hop or she just loves to feel the glow? What does feeling the glow mean in 24? So I say that because when you have two people in a match, the match can be great, but if there's no characters to hold on to, it's just some moves and holds, my friend.
Unbelievable. Let me tell you, you want to know what Naomi is? She is amazing. She's I'm amazing. That was bring it to the floor.
That was the last theme song. Now it's work it out some more.
I miss Team Bad. Remember Team Bad?
That's deep cut.
The Unity. Mm-hmm. No, that's a deeper cut. Really? Like, so either way, these two, I think, have insane chemistry with each other. Sure. I do feel like when we do maybe see them too, possibly in a title match sometime in the future, possibly on a PLE, this is going to be one of those matches when you give them maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Right.
Is going to be one of the best women's matches. Because I feel like today we saw glimpses of it.
They're fantastic dance partners. But the fact you said that was the best TV match all week, I'm going, oh, hell
yes.
Oh, hell no. Did you not watch the debut of NXT? Did you not watch Raw, SmackDown, TNA, AEW?
I stand corrected, Flobo Boys, because I thought Roxanne and Julia was amazing.
Oh, no, but you just said Tiffany Stratton and Naomi was better.
I just said I stand corrected. Can a guy be wrong here and there? And I'm admitting that I'm wrong?
Maybe.
I'm saying I'm wrong. Yeah, I thought Roxanne, Julia. Let me tell you this. This was the second best TV match all week. Suck it, Ospreay and Ricochet.
You are not compared to Ospreay. Okay, moving on.
I just did. Who's if I'm in this seat, I decide when we get to move on.
Okay.
Okay.
Cancel George.
Let's move on.
I'm going to say right here, but not tonight. We're going to move on.
We're going to move on because I say we're going to move on. So after this amazing match that we saw between Tiffany and Naomi, we saw Piper and Chelsea be walking in the back. It looks like Chelsea was a little stinky.
Just a little bit, you know.
And again, this is great, fantastic, as you would love to say, character work. Because Chelsea is, as Lay Cool would say, flawless in everything that she does. I think this is great. Everybody play their part fantastically. And, yeah, kudos to everybody in this segment.
Yeah, Chelsea Green was great, but also we got out of that segment. So we got the reintroduction of the tag team division. We got Nick Aldis reestablished as an authority figure, him dealing with Carmelo and the AJ Styles segment, and Piper never getting a chance to work on her comedic chops. So yes, Chelsea Green was amazing, but that segment did the heavy lifting of four different angles at once, and that's top tier writing.
That is top tier. You get all these people involved. By the way, we didn't know no signs of Cody or Kevin Owens or Randy Orton anywhere on the show. Or Roman Reigns.
They're doing promo stuff. Come on.
But like, dude, the pay-per-view's tomorrow.
Yeah, and they're in Atlanta. Why would I be in Nashville if I gotta be in Atlanta?
That just goes to show how much business has changed, right? Because if this was 20 years ago, this would have never, ever been a thing.
20 years ago, they were wrestling on Heat and the pay-per-view. But it's
Yeah, it's a different time. There's no longer pay-per-view buys. There's subscriptions. right? Like there was no, like, I mean, we all watch it live. Like we don't, but we don't have to anymore. We don't have to watch it. Oh, it's 3 p.m. tomorrow. We got to watch it at 3. Like you can watch it at 6 or 7 or 8 or whatever it is, you know, so avoid the spoilers for whatnot. And also, like, the building's practically sold out. Like, what more do they have to do to, like, oh, you know, like, there's no go. Like, you already sold all the tickets. So it's like, cool. Like, you know, we don't, I'm not saying they don't have to try hard, but it's just crazy how, like, we saw literally half that main event not even be on the show. I don't know if, yeah. I don't know if they did a dark match or anything like that, but, like, they're not even on the show.
Yeah.
No Owens follow-up. No Randy Orton.
Yeah, they're on fire right now. And it's, and sometimes you get to gamble with some goodwill. Like SmackDown could have been a terrible show today if half the roster there, but we had enough stipulations and new characters and returns that you didn't need it. You're not asking for Cody if you got AJ Styles versus Carmella at 8:05, a hot gimmick match in the dumpster at 9, and then you got the tag team titles in on the line, the main event. Like, that's basically what SmackDown could possibly do. And it's almost at a point where you're like, okay, I'm fine. I'm good to see what next SmackDown is going to be because I know Cody and Roman are going to do their thing tomorrow.
It's crazy because, like, dating back to, you know, 25 years, we saw, like, Austin, Rock, Triple H, you know, Kane, Undertaker. They're on, like, Raw and SmackDown on a weekly basis.
Well, that's just trust in the roster, right? Because I feel like there was never a trust on the undercard as much. And if you're like me who watched Jacked and Metal, yeah, you got Spike Dudley versus Eve Blackman every week. But when you watch those shows, it was like, we know these six guys have to be featured, and then Nick and Beatty can come after that.
Can I say when Jacked or Velocity or one of those shows, when the announce team was Josh Matthews and Ernest the Cat Miller,
Velocity.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. Those two had such great chemistry together.
Wrestling C&D shows are its own different vibe. Level Up, AEW Dark, when they had it. Like, it's a different vibe where it's like less stakes, but you just want to see the moves and holds and not have to follow everything. It's great, man.
Yeah, especially Velocity. There was like a series of matches between like Paul London and Jimmy Wang Yang back when he was a Kyo.
Yeah.
Those were just
Frankie Kazarian. I'm the future, and the future looks good.
All three matches that he had in WWE back in the day.
That's a good theme song.
I'm not going to answer the trivia question just yet.
Boo!
Because we're not at the end of the show. We still got to get into predictions. But I will say, but the question was, what was the first ladder match on SmackDown? Do you know what the latest ladder match on SmackDown was? The tonight. Most recent one.
Tonight.
You are correct, sir.
Give it up for me.
Give it up for Flobo Boys. The Bloodline, I guess Gorillas of Destiny / Bloodline / El Hijos de Haku / Tama Tonga and Tangaloa going up against DIY, going up against Street Profits. I do want to ask you one thing though, and I don't want to be negative, but I do want you to be honest. What do you think BFAB provides for the Street Profits?
Provides. She's a manager. What do managers provide in modern wrestling now? No one signs contracts anymore.
So can I be a manager?
Yeah.
So I know, but I'm saying, like, what do if I were to be a manager, what, like, do I have the same kind of value that BFAB does for the Street Profits?
I think you're looking at it unfairly because you saw the Street Profits basically put themselves up by their bootstraps, and this is like Fergie joined the Black Eyed Peas, right? You're like, why is she joined the Black Eyed Peas?
I loved Ella Funk. Ella Funk is a great album.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's people out there who only know of the Fergie years. And so you look at BFAB, she doesn't necessarily wrestle, but there's a balance there because they need someone to bounce their ideas off of, because we've seen years of being like, I'm thinking what you're thinking. We want the smoke. And so it is kind of a different dynamic backstage. We want to show doubt, fear, concern when their manager goes, hey, how are you feeling, guys? Does it have to be BFAB? No. But having a manager gives Street Profits a bit more depth. Now, I kind of wish it was Lashley, but Lashley's not there no more. So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, I mean, she doesn't have any, like, weekly TV time. She doesn't have any, like, mic time. She's not wrestling. I'm not saying this in a bad way. I guess what I'm getting at is I wish they would show her be more adding more value to the act.
How does that look like? What does adding more value mean?
Whether it's you know, giving her mic time, whether it's giving her a match and then she just kills it like Maxine's been doing recently, you know, whether it's just being this intimidating figure, because she's a tall gal. I mean, she doesn't have the muscles like a China did, but, like, right, she's still a pretty imposing figure. So just kind of be maybe an enforcer in some way, just something more than her just standing there and walking them to the ring.
Okay. Well, that's another issue. Cause you were saying what value they add. And I'm like, well, that's the value, whether or not you like it or think you should do more. That's another issue entirely. Cause you think of the modern manager besides Paul Heyman, you think about people who escort to the ring. No one really does much anymore.
No, this isn't like a oh, she's a woman, whatever. Because I have very similar criticism for Paul Ellering. He's somebody who, you know, anybody that watched wrestling in the 80s like knows how badass Paul Ellering was. So what is he doing now that makes him unique to the act? Like, oh man, they really needed Paul Ellering, or Paul Ellering really needs them. You know, Paul Heyman is a perfect example. Maybe we're too spoiled by Heyman.
No, exactly. Because Paul is the only, because he was a wise man. He did things we think managers do. He talked for them. He got involved in matches, and he definitely did the whole like, I made a call, I signed the contract. Things you think managers do. Heenan was that way also. He had his thing where it's like, no, I got you. This match, this is great. Most modern escorts or valets or managers don't really do much. Maybe they hold an ankle when they're heel, but as faces?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, either way, we saw a fantastic ladder match. We saw a lot of cool things. You know, we haven't really seen this kind of a car crash of a ladder match in a while. Usually it's the money in the bank, you know, that people are going for. Usually it's maybe like a contract that people are trying to go for, maybe like somebody's custody, shout out to Dominic Mysterio. But you know, it's been a while since we've seen these kind of matches, and I think all these teams really meshed well with each other. Going into the match, I do want to ask, going into the match, who did you predict was going to win this match? Did you think it was going to be retained by the Bloodline?
Yeah, you have to. And I know if there was going to be a change of a guard, that's the way to do it. Triple threat, high gimmick match. So you can say, we were never pinned. But yeah, the Bloodline losing the day before a pay-per-view or PLE with the other half doing it, which is bad news. Now, I was surprised, because I'm a DIY hater, that the crowd Nashville got behind them. So I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool if you had the Prison of the Moment thing and have them do a second championship run. But all roads has to go through that new Solo group, because Solo himself is not connecting with the audience. You got to make that group look as strong as possible, because when you do the Bloodline versus New Bloodline story, it has to have stakes.
Why do you think Solo's not connecting with the audience?
I don't know. I mean, he is true to his character. There's a motivation. He took the Ulafala on. He took down Roman Reigns. You should hate him, like in the in character way, but people hate him in the out character way, where it's like, this guy sucks, and it's like, man. But you know, we want the Bloodline versus New Bloodline. So that match has to happen. So it'd be better if we got Solo like real heat, as they say.
But like, what, like, so, because when Solo comes out, he gets a reaction, and isn't that what it's all about, though?
No, I think it isn't. You want to have a villain, because Roman Reigns specifically was such a specific kind of villain. The fact that Roman has to basically go back to his moral compass to be a face to do it, you need something that's eviler than evil to make that make sense. So, yes, Solo being Solo, when he's the street champion of the island, it works. But Roman has been so beat down that he has to work with his enemy. That thing he has to fight has to be Thanos. And Solo's not that. And I don't know what that is or what they need to do, but that's the reason why it's not hitting.
What'd you think of the match?
Match was solid. I really thought for a second that there may be a new champion. That's all I needed, because I know it wasn't going to happen, but the thought was great.
Yeah, we saw you know, Tama and Tonga go through a lot of stuff, go through tables and whatnot. So yeah, it was a lot of table spots. That's our SmackDown, but we're not done yet. We're gonna get into predictions. But before we get into predictions, I do want to talk about a report, because I do want to get your opinion on something. On the 2024 Bad Blood match order reportedly revealed, we have Wrestle Purists mentioned on Twitter that the Hell in a Cell bout between CM Punk and Drew McIntyre will open the show, which means Cody Rhodes and Roman will be taking on Jacob Fatu and Solo in the main event of the match. Apparently, Nia Jax and Bayley will be match number two, Damian Priest and Finn Balor match number three. Interestingly enough, Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley match number four. And then Bloodline against Cody and Roman in match number five. Were you surprised in any way that Hell in a Cell is going to be opening the show and not finishing the show?
No. Why would it finish the show? Look, we like CM Punk.
Because it's Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell is a top gimmick match for sure, for the longest time. And Drew and CM Punk have the bad blood to make bad blood. But we all know that when you ever play GM mode in 2K, your second best match and your best match bookend the show. So it is either you're going to start with Roman and Cody or start with the Hell in a Cell. And you're not going to start with Roman and Cody for two reasons. One, he's your champion, Cody Rhodes, and it's Roman freaking Reigns. First time being in the ring forever. And second, if there's going to be seeds planted for Survivor Series and Royal Rumble, i.e. The Rock, i.e. the Bloodline vs. Bloodline stare down, you can't do that at 6 p.m. Eastern. So the right call down the line for sure.
So yeah, we're gonna. If anything, I'm very intrigued by what's gonna be ended up with the show. But let's get into predictions right now. Opening the show, we got CM Punk against Drew McIntyre. What do you think is going to happen in this match? And is it gonna be finally their last match of their program?
It should be. Drew can't take another loss, but he's getting another one today. CM Punk goes over, and we could finally set him up in his WrestleMania story.
So you think Drew is gonna go over?
I'm thinking CM Punk is.
Drew you think can't CM take, Punk is gonna over.
Drew can't take the loss, but he's gonna lose tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I'd ask, where do you think these guys go from now? But that's another hour of the show. We have your favorite, Bayley, as the challenger going up against the champion, Nia Jax. Who do you got winning?
Nia has to retain. It pains my heart, but there's too many shenanigans involved with Naomi kind of being a friend, kind of not being a friend. Bianca's in the mix. Tiffany Stratton. Nia Jax walks away unscathed.
Nia Jax walks away unscathed. Do we see a cash-in? Now, whether or not it's successful or not, do we see Tiffany Stratton cash in?
The attempt will be there, yes.
Attempt as in the match will be official or just a tease?
Oh, no, it'll be official. Oh, she is cashing in her contract. It'll be tomorrow.
Okay. We won't get into, because it's just speculation, but we won't get into whether you think she's successful or not. But yeah, I think I forgot to mention, I got CM Punk winning the opening match. I got Nia Jax retaining. Who do you have between the grudge match of Finn Balor and Damian Priest?
It pains me to say this, because I know both men need the win. I think both men have some more of the mountain to climb, but Finn Balor is perfect foil for anyone on the rise, and so I think Damian Priest wins this one. Terror twin or so.
Demon or no demon?
The demon hasn't existed since sliding off a turnbuckle. I think a demon was killed that way. But
I thought he was at Mania 39.
Was he?
Yeah, against Edge in the Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yeah. The one they had to prematurely stop because he got cut open. Never mind. No, it's not going to be See the Demon.
I disrespectfully disagree.
Sounds like
it
would.
I got Finn Balor all the way. I think Damian Priest has accomplished everything that he needs to accomplish. I think we'll at some point see him again as a world champion, but I feel like this is going to be Finn's time finally. Triple H has always been a Finn Balor fan. I don't think Vince was, especially after that first match. But I do feel like we're going to see some kind of emergence for Finn Balor into the main event scene and finally getting a proper world championship run.
I'm not sure it's going to be world championship, but the Prince needs to have a run. And I think SmackDown needs it. I really think that SmackDown needs someone else to be a tweener or whatever, like an amoral person. If he went solo, it'd be great.
Yeah. We got Rhea Ripley as challenger going up against Liv Morgan. A lot of rumors in this one, but I do want to get your thoughts on who is going to come out as champion.
Rhea has to win this one or people will start questioning her legacy. So I do think Rhea gets the championship. The question now becomes, do we do this again in 6 weeks' time?
I, once again, disrespectfully disagree.
Just once, be respectful.
I think Liv Morgan will not only retain, but she will be retaining because of Raquel Rodriguez. There is a lot of history there. We've been seeing a lot of kind of callbacks with Liv Morgan saying, you know, do you guys remember what happened 2 years ago when Rhea joined the Judgment Day? Do you not remember what happened 6 months ago when, or a year ago when she...
I hate that. What? And here's the reason why. Because even back in the NXT days, when Rodriguez was Raquel Gonzalez, she was big. Yeah. And she was Big Mommy Cool. They always put her next to Rhea. And I think if Raquel joins Judgment Day and tries to do her Judgment Day impression, it's going to look like Team Rhea. And you can't live that down.
I think it's fascinating though, because like we never really see a faction with more than one female. It's almost as if like, all right, we got the one female, we got the quota, we're good. So I think it would be an interesting wrench to throw it in there if we have Raquel and Liv both in one stable alongside JD and Finn and Dominic and Carlito.
I mean, technically Tatum Paxton kind of went to the ring with Ivy Nile back in the Diamond Mine days.
Would you say she was officially a Diamond Mine member?
No, that was storyline that was dropped. Remember drop storylines happened all the time.
Remember what was his name? Ryan Taylor's name. Taylor Rust, was that his name?
Oh yeah.
He was there for like a hiccup. Taylor Rust. And then there was like an Asian guy in Diamond Mine as well, right?
Yeah, Hachiman.
Hachiman, yeah. Whatever happened to Ichiman Jiro?
It's jacket time. He got released a year ago.
I hated that. I hated everything about that gimmick.
Jacket time?
Yo, oh, my God.
Pre-team boys loved it. Oh God. What time is it?
Game time. Ooh. Yeah, I couldn't stand it. Prediction for main events. Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns going up against Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu.
So the Bloodline have to win this one. I love Roman. I love
they Cody. Have to win because of, or not because of, but like, how do you think they win?
So I think ultimately it's going to be a gang warfare situation that Roman Reigns will face the new Bloodline, right? But as of right now, he got beat up once, and this is his second attempt. If he's successful, if you pin Solo, the thing's over. Like, what would you need, right? You need to have Roman go through the ringer to say, Jimmy, I need help. Jay, I need help. Rock, I need help, or whatever.
So. There is a rumor, maybe not a rumor, because I feel like he said it, that there is a certain somebody that is going to be in town for a Georgia football game. Have you heard this rumor?
It's cooking.
Do you think he shows up tomorrow night?
At a Bad Blood? That's not a big PLE. No, I don't see why not. Sure.
Do you think he will be Team Roman or Team Solo?
See, that's the question. Now, if everything is canon, right? If everything was not dropped, because I'm not sure what is dropped, he would be Team Solo. He would say, you were the tribal chief. You messed things up. I was with you to make sure we didn't fail. You still failed. Now I'm going with Solo, because when Solo was brought in by the elders, the big story was who sent Solo. Mm-hmm. However, as we saw this year, they pivot all the time. If things are dropped, then the Roman Rock team would be probably print more money. But if this was actually a novel, it would make more sense for him to back Solo.
Yeah, I do think you're going to have the new Bloodline go over. I do think we're going to see an appearance by The Rock. It's been very much so teased that we're going to see something big happen at the end of Bad Blood. Can't wait for the show. We will be here on Wrestling Inc. covering it. Me and referee Jimmy Corderas. Can't wait to talk all about it. But we're not done yet. We got one more thing. What was the very first ladder match in the history of SmackDown? I didn't really get too many right answers in the chat, but I did get a right answer.
Triple H versus The Rock.
I did get a right answer from Flowbull Boyce.
TLC 3 really is?
When you said TLC 3, that was the very first ladder match in SmackDown history.
Whoa. We can't talk about who won that match. Shame.
The Chris's one. Yeah. The exactly. Chris's one.
Hi, guys.
That was a fantastic match. And you know where that... Do you know where that show was from?
No, but I'm a guess.
Take a guess.
Hershey?
Nope. Think more West.
Anaheim,
California. Back when it was still known as the Arrowhead Pond of Anaheim.
Yeah, when I was a kid, that WrestleMania 2000 promo was like, it's my dream to go to Anaheim, guys.
Have you been there?
Anaheim? Yeah.
Yeah, for the show, for any shows?
Not wrestling, no. I've done Ducks.
I've done no Ducks. I've been to a Jurassic Park show and a Monday Night Raw.
That's kind of random. What's the was it like a monster truck rally with the like truck shaped dinosaurs or
no, not monster truck, but it was like a show like where they just had like a, you know, kind of like how you go to like Universal Studios and they have like the Water World or whatever. This was just that Jurassic Park, yeah. But if people want to talk to you, Flobo.
Oh wow!
If people want to talk baseball with you,
sure.
where can people talk to you?
I'm on that X at Flobo Boyce. That's FLOBOBOYCE and Threads at Flobito. That's also baseball content. But I also have a sports comedy blog if you want to know my thoughts about what's happening in the world of sports. We actually have a write-up of the passing of Pete Rose. Learn more at justthesandwich.com. What's one word? Justthesandwich.com. So you want fries with that? No, I just want just the sandwich.
Flobo is a great, is it bloggist?
I guess so.
Blogger. Sure. Because he sent me an article that he did where he talks about what hot dogs have, or what brand hot dog are at every vendor, at every baseball stadium. And I got to tell you, it is so cool because Dodger dogs are not good anymore. They used to be good when it was Farmer John.
I'm the opposite.
What?
I don't have a nostalgic pull. If I was raised in the Farmer John, I probably would like that more because it's different. But I had both of them like within 6 months of each other, and I like the new ones.
You know what's a good one? Is a Diamondback sock. I think, was it Hoffy? Which one's Hoffy?
That's Anaheim.
Those aren't bad.
Yeah.
Diamondbacks are good, but I will give you more.
They use Bar S. It's like $2 hot dogs, bro. You could do better.
Or maybe it was Oakland. I can't remember. Shout out RIP to Oakland. Oakland Coliseum. But that's it. If you want to talk to me about, see, look at that, Jose. That's
yeah, Jose Tapete. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like, no, here's the thing about food. And I noticed we're getting late here. Well, there's certain foods that we love because we have nostalgic pull to. Like, I'm from Brooklyn and I love Dunkin' Donuts. But when I moved out west, I saw all the donut shops that were superior. I had to tell myself what was real or not. Farmer John's is okay, but I think the new ones. I'm sorry. The new ones are great. Let's go Mets.
Yeah, I was going to invite you to a Dodger game, but not anymore. If you can follow me.
Burgers and garlic fries. Come on.
Nathan's is good. If you want to follow me, you can follow me at G Hermosa, GHERMOZA. Go to my wrestling channel. I got some cool stuff on there. I got some cool interviews. I got interviews with Buff Bagwell and Scotty Riggs. I got some other cool interviews coming up scheduled. I got some interviews that I need to edit and then put it on the channel. I got some other cool content that I plan on doing that I can't wait to share with you guys. But yeah, follow at the Wrestling Chatter, TW Chatter on the social medias. Until next time. This has been Flobo. This has been George. This has been Wrestling Inc. This has been the SmackDown After Show Review. I love you guys.
Aww. That's so cute.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.